Are those new headphones, Neil?
No, I'm just, they're around the back so that I can
Oh,
wear my
okay.
hat.
Right on. Okay, cool. Well,
It's a
Matt.
special. Should I do that?
No, no, no,
No, no. Okay.
no. Let's do this one. Let's do this one. I like this one.
Hi, this is Brittany Spears, and you're listening to Jonah Radio. And also check out Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix.
If this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potatoes. Neither!
Out here, just a little bit stranger.
Get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hang on with your friends.
Struck ground for it.
Valediction.
I don't understand. It's just fun.
In defense of Coldplay.
It was the party.
What do we know about partying or anything else?
Oh, welcome to the show. My name is Jonah. Ray Dio can't make it, but Cash Hartzell is here.
Hi, everybody. Cash Hartzell here.
And Neil Mahoney is here.
I'm always here.
You're always here. Never missed an episode.
Except two or three.
Yeah, give this point it lightly. Sometimes you miss them in the middle. our guest for today, oh boy. You've seen his work in the regular show. This is loud. You've seen his work in the regular show. Heard him the past, I don't know, 7 years I've been doing the Pass the Chord end of the year music special with the Sklars on their thing and all that. So please, everybody, welcome Mr. Matt Price.
Yay.
Hi. Thank you for the audio claps, Cash.
It's easier to say them these days than it is to
perform. Look, I'll take them any way I can get them nowadays.
Yeah. Matt, thanks so much for coming. You used to have your own music podcast with the Whale Cave.
I did. I have Whale Cave, yeah. Still available on the internet.
Can't get rid of it. Can't scrub it clean.
You cannot scrub it clean. They've tried, but they can't do it.
Yeah, it can't. So you were, you wrote on the, we met like because of the Sklars. We were in a sketch together. Like you and I, my first time on TV ever was because Bart Coleman, who, you know, was my guardian angel in the world of comedy in the beginning. He cast me in a sketch with where you were playing a high five coach for the Cheap Seats program.
Yep.
You were that high five coach. And that's when we met. So that was almost 20 years. It was like,
was that your first time? Like how long? Wow. That was actually your first time doing on TV or?
Yeah, that was my first time on TV. And that was the, I had been doing maybe stand up for maybe about 6 months at that point.
Well, okay, that was my next question. Okay, because you moved here. So you moved here 6 months prior?
No, I moved here in 2000. I moved to LA in 2001, but didn't start until 2002.
Wow.
Because I was scared.
Sure.
Scared.
We're all scared, Jonah.
We're all scared. But then you went off to have a great career. You were in the TV set, one of my favorite movies.
Thank you.
I was just talking to somebody about someone was asking me about, they're like, oh, do you watch Succession? And I was like, no, my family on my dad's side had a business that when my grandfather died, everyone turned into monsters trying to get the money that was left over.
Yeah.
And so when I watch Succession, I go, I don't need to see this happen. And he's like, oh, that's why I can't watch the show Episodes, because he tried to do an American version of his show, The In-Betweeners. And he said it was the same. It was the same situation. And so it's triggering to him. I was like, well, then don't watch the TV set because it's kind of a similar.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people who saw the TV set and they'll tell me that story. They'll be like, oh, man, I had a pilot about my parents. And then now it's about a dog. You know, it's just like. But it's the same. Yeah, the TV set's pretty. It's funny. Like, it's pretty real. It doesn't really have a crazy twist.
No, it just plots along like how it's going to.
Exactly. Yeah. Like this show got twisted around by TV executives and what a bummer that was.
Yeah. And it's essentially it's starring David Duchovny playing what would become Dan Harmon's story in a way. like he's this like bearded guy that just kind of then starts throwing out his back. And then Sigourney Weaver plays all your scenes are with Sigourney Weaver.
They're all with Sigourney Weaver. Or she told me to call her Siggy, which I never did.
Whoa, what? Siggy?
Yeah.
That seems like a trap.
Exactly. I could never call her Siggy. Yeah, I mean, that just seemed impossible.
So she tells you that, and then she goes over the first AD and say, hey, this guy is getting a little familiar. I want you to watch out and call him out. And just watch the fireworks happen.
Yeah, see that little man over there? He's calling me Siggy.
But it's the only reason she asks that is because you wouldn't stop calling her Ripley.
Exactly. What's up, Ripley? Let's do this, Rip.
Yeah. But then you went on to...
I did usually what I do, which is I called her nothing. I just was like...
hey, nothing.
No, I mean, yeah, I was so like in awe of her. I was just like, do you want me to stand over there and say those words? Like, it was just no, I couldn't address her as a human.
Yeah. She's an entity.
She's so iconic.
Yeah. And then you wrote for regular show for, I think the whole time, right?
The whole time. Yeah.
And now you're on that guy. You're on JG's new show.
So yeah, JG's new show, it's called Close Enough, which just premiered on HBO Max or premiered in July. And now I'm actually writing on Final Space, which is a show in its third season on Adult Swim. I think it'll be on Adult Swim.
Nice.
They all hop around these shows now.
They do. Yeah.
They move from place to place.
Place to place.
When I started seeing Comedy Central stuff show up on HBO Max, I was just like, I wonder if The Meltdown will show up. And I don't think it will.
Why don't you?
It'll show up.
I don't think they haven't put any of their stand-up shows. And I know it's a very specific stand-up show. But I don't know. Maybe when Kumail's Marvel movie comes out, then they'll pop it up there or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll probably say from Kumail's Meltdown.
Yeah,
You'll get screwed out of it.
It's The Meltdown with Kumail Nanjiani and friend. you're a huge music fan. You keep up with music.
I try to.
Yeah, it gets tougher. I remember you slip up for one moment, and then like all of a sudden there's like 17 new genres and bands that have been like established in that genre for what seems like the get go. So it gets tough.
And a lot of like a side project of a side project.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember when I first heard Jeff Rosenstock, who's been on the show, but I was like, oh, this it's crazy. There's this guy that just has his name and he's like a punk star all of a sudden. Everyone's like, well, because he was in Bomb the Music Industry. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Right.
I was like, oh, they were a band for years.
I always feel like you and the Sklars are like punking me when I go on past the core, because you'll reference some band, like you'll be like, oh yeah, and he was in Tabletop, and then he was on Dashboard Spray the Channel, and I'm like, you're just making those bands up to see if I'm like, oh yeah, I love Dashboard Spray the Channel. And you're like, that's not a band, dude.
Yeah, yeah, gotcha. Yeah. That's that gotcha podcasting that I'm famous for.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah. You do love those.
I do.
Why they call you the Ashton Kutcher of podcasts.
That's true. Yeah. You got gotcha'd.
Yeah.
Gaucho'd. You got Groucho Marxed.
That's Steely Dan Gaucho'd.
Yeah. Did anyone ever do a character, Groucho Marxist? Did that ever happen? The Marxist brothers? Were they just trying to? No.
It's too hot. Someone's too hot now. For the, At the time, I don't think that would have been gone over well.
Yes. Well, we are going to take a break with the song. We come back, we'll have more Matt Price. We're going to be playing a quick one, submit a track, an artist that calls himself George Bailey, and this one is called Crawling Out of My Skin, a quick little bitty. But if you want your music featured on the show, email it to us, jonahradio, RAYDIO@gmail.com, and maybe we'll play it. But here's Crawling Out of My Skin, George Bailey.
Stay down.
Oh boy, that was a nice, quick little ditty. I like
very,
that.
Very, very appropriate for the times.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Right. That was George Bailey, said like the character from the iconic film I Know What You Did Last Christmas. That's
wait a minute.
Hold on, that's not the.
That would be a great way to resurrect it. I gotta say, throw it into a Christmas killer movie. I think that's
Get Blumhouse on the horn.
He's got COVID.
Jason Blum has COVID?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Won't slow him down. That guy's got his office in a van. Yeah, that's
that makes him a vector, I think.
Matt, this is the time. So here's the thing, you know, with the show we do, the Pass the Cord show we do with the Sklars, it's a, you know, it's a year-end wrap-up. It's kind of what happened there, but this show is more concerned with the here and the fucking now. Yeah. And we address that in a segment that we call
Music News.
That's right. A segment called Music News, where we illegally use a Thin Lizzy song to scroll into what's going on in the world of music today.
All right.
Yes, you just got back today.
Yeah. So, Cash, what do we got?
Well, we got all sorts of stuff. We got Rolling Stone. We got, we got Pitchfork. We got.
You used Pitchfork? I never used Pitchfork. Did you not prep anything?
No, I did.
I would also use metalinjection.net a lot. They always had a lot of fun stuff.
I found some good stuff there. Well,
right. Bibliography.
You know, a lot of books put it at the end. We put our
at the front.
Yeah.
We just tell you the links and then you catch up on it.
It's just
read links.
Yeah. You just go,
TTP.
Yeah. This one's really good. You guys,
yeah. In the front.
Well, over at pitchfork.com/news/Slater-Kinney's Carrie Brownstein to write, they say Slater-Kinney's Carrie Brownstein to write and direct a Heart biopic. That's right. The Portland, the North Pacific Northwest takes care of their own with the story of the Seattle Sisters being brought to the screen by a Portland sister. It's... Carrie Brownstein wrote a movie, has already made a movie, and is writing the script on this one.
I auditioned for that movie. I auditioned for the last Carrie Brownstein movie three times. It was the same. It's the St. Vincent movie that Carrie Brownstein wrote and directed. Mm-hmm. Very upset that I didn't get in because I was like, "Here's my shoe-in. I look like a guy that would be in a band. I actually play the drums." And then it didn't happen.
Wait, that movie starring St. Vincent?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is it? Cool. It's in the story here. It's
that would have been amazing to be.
Sure. Oh, cool. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was selected for the 2020 Sundance Film Festival.
I know that, Cash.
But
you don't think he's had his fingers on the pulse of this thing?
Yeah.
It was birthed.
Jonah, yeah. Do you know who got the part?
Did not recognize the. It wasn't any kind of comedy.
Like, was it a drummer? Like, what is that? You know.
I think so. Yeah, I think it was an actual like a musician that could act.
Was it Dave Grohl?
No.
Okay.
You know, when I did know the name, it did make me feel a lot better. Because I was just like, you know, it's like when I was checking, like I saw the announcement on Variety and I was like, please don't be Adam Pally. Please don't be Adam Pally. Not that I don't like Adam Pally. It's just that.
Right. It's sure. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If it's a drummer, you could be like, oh, okay. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Todd Berry.
Right.
I play drums.
Yeah.
I heard that Anne Hathaway has already pitched herself as Nancy Wilson, but Nancy Wilson is not great. Not completely sold about that. Further,
wait a minute. That it says in there that Nancy Wilson's like, hold on a second.
No, that was on a gossip
side. Casting
site.
Ideas. Oh, yeah. That's a little hurt.
Yeah, well, I think she was a little, you know, it's like. No, Anna Hathaway, everybody thinks you're a bitch for some reason. I don't think that you should play me.
Do people think she's a bitch or do people think she's just cheesy?
I've heard both sides of that spectrum.
Oh, okay.
Didn't she kill a guy with a car?
She did kill a guy, yeah.
I thought that was Matthew Broderick.
Also killed a guy with a car. Yeah. Oh. In Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Well, so he's cursed now. I'm not sure if you know the lore.
Yeah. So he's not up for that part either then. Yeah.
He's got a banshee following him.
You think Matthew,
did you notice that Divorce didn't get a third season? That's the Irish curse that Broderick brought upon his family.
I only learned about the Irish curse when I got to college.
Yeah, before that, you weren't cursed at all?
No, it's like a thing about like guys from Ireland have small dicks.
I learned that from Good Will Hunting.
Oh, really?
They make that joke in Good Will Hunting, yeah.
Oddly enough, they were filming Good Will Hunting in front of my dorm when I moved in.
Is that where were you standing by Video Village and you just overheard the Irish curse?
No.
Oh, okay.
Some girl from Medford said it. And,
Neil pitched the Them Apples joke.
To go with the downer of Matthew Broderick killing somebody, Guitar Center files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
But before they have a Memorial Day sale that you will not believe.
Memorial Day?
Now, is they always like just June? Yes, it is, Neil. That's part of the joke. It's just a ridiculous... They're always having a big Memorial Day sale, and they pipe it up for months.
Well, apparently they're still paying their employees and want to continue to do so through bankruptcy, which is... a lot cooler than other
for sure.
stores. So
where will guys go and just noodle on guitars all day now?
I mean, they've been doing
it. They'll go to Noodle Town over in Sherman Oaks. I went to Guitar Center before times to get my daughter some drumsticks. Mm-hmm. And the drumstick purchase could have taken all of 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
The drummer salesman was pitching me like the bands that he was in and where they were playing.
Wow.
And that I should come see the shows and stuff. and now I'm like, oh fuck, I would love to see that guy's show.
You gotta go to the Pro Drum Shop on Vine, which is right next to Stein on Vine.
Oh yeah.
A drum shop that's been there for like 50 years, because those guys have long since given up on playing in bands.
Yeah.
But they probably don't have the cool rainbow drumsticks that my daughter really wants.
That's possible. They did have a huge selection of drumsticks, and I do my favorite part about going there was that, like, you know, I used my card and they still have like the ka-chunk machine to do the
It's
all very yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, hopefully Guitar Center will be there when we all come out.
We should get some new mics.
Oh, yeah. We should. Blow They're up. Probably having...
I mean, problems. I don't need a new mic.
I don't...
Well...
There.
Maybe
I It do. Works. Guys...
No, I get it. I like that bit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it doesn't really work on Zoom because you just assume that it's Zoom cutting out.
Right.
You're saying I'm too good an impressionist. That's fine. Bob Dylan musical cast is going to reunite for a Facebook event. Guys, did you know there was a Bob Dylan musical that they could reunite from? Because I did not.
Bob Dylan musical cast.
So it's like a jukebox musical kind
apparently,
of thing?
Apparently, Road to the North Country, which I think he said a lot. Apparently there was a Bob Dylan musical. And there, if you feel like it, December 15th at 7:30 Eastern Time, you can go back and watch the cast answer stories about what it was like to be in a Bob Dylan musical.
Wait, was it on the old Broadway?
It was Great White Way. Great White Way.
What?
Every time I try to do a Bob Dylan impression, it just sounds more like my Norm MacDonald impression.
They're both from the North.
That's true. One's Minneapolis and the other is Toronto. So I guess...
That Norm MacDonald musical did not go anywhere.
Yeah. Flatline.
Although that moth joke song was amazing. Such a payoff.
Yeah. Here's the curse of the wiener dogs.
But it was nice. Okay.
I just caught him in the People versus Larry Flint the other night. Very small role, but I was like, wow. Norm MacDonald had like a really weird straight acting career.
That's right. How'd he do?
He was great. Played a NBC news producer who Larry Flint sold the DeLorean footage to.
That was the beginning and the end of his dramatic acting career. Norm MacDonald had an amazing music joke. Do you remember one of my favorite SNL jokes when he was on the news. He said, number two in the, wait, what was it? Oh, no. Number one in the music top 40 this week is Better Than Ezra. Number two, Ezra.
I wish, I know it's not the thing, but he's like, and number three, you guessed it, Frank Stallone.
If only you were on staff.
guys, here it within music news, a structured thing. I'm making a case for another structured thing that I'm gonna call David Crosby Answers Questions on Twitter. The David Crosby, as we all know and love, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, all those.
I felt like it needed some kind of thing.
He's great on Twitter. So I'm just going to read you some of the sort of one-word answers that he's given to fans' questions over the week. Mark Sidoti asked the David Crosby, are you able to explain the feeling you get when you come on stage and before the lights come on? To which David Crosby replies, excitement.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. What's your favorite ice cream flavor? Cros asks It's Mivic on Twitter.
We don't need to know the people.
Yeah. You don't need to give credit.
I just want to give attribution.
Can I get the exact handle?
Yeah.
I might want to follow some of these nerds.
Yeah.
Chocolate. Chocolate is his favorite ice cream.
Basic. Wow. Basic bitch.
Somebody asked.
Cash, for these one-word answers, this segment should be going way faster.
Jerry Garcia's impact. Here, question mark, in 144 characters, question mark, get serious. Somebody asked, did you share the herb? David Crosby says, certainly. After 9 months of not playing live, I'm about ready to walk down the street with my acoustic and just start playing songs for the folks who live in my neighborhood. David Crosby says, me too. That was David Crosby gives short answers to questions from the fans.
We can call them stupid questions without paying David Letterman, right?
No. And I would like to read you a review of the new Liam Gallagher Christmas song that he's put out from Liam Gallagher. It says, all you're dreaming of is an instant classic that is perfect for this time of year. That's your Liam Gallagher review of a Liam Gallagher song.
Yes.
And, can't wait to hear it.
It's good. I like it.
I have it here, but I think Jonah has the sound. And
You're the host. You're able to, if you're hosting the Zoom, you could take that from me at any time.
I'm going
to
do that then, guys.
Just like you did the same thing last week, Cash. Just like you did last week.
Okay, just this and Liam. That's not it.
Wow. I
started hearing porn.
How many special people Christmas? Jingle bell the Christmas.
While the morning waits with a field of stars to keep the dark at bay. Take your spotlight underneath the moon. Sometimes a miracle is all that can carry you. Oh,
voice is sounding good.
Are you dreaming of? Is it the kind of love that'll be there when the world is at its worst?
Take it over that Mariah Carey fucking joint.
Yeah, he's definitely making a break for it.
When you're losing ground, still tell you that you're well.
So is he just trying to recreate the Love Actually situation where he'll get naked or something like that on a
I think it's I think the Christmas single, the English Christmas,
you can turn it off now, Cash.
Okay.
Upon your
The Christmas single is English Christmas single is just a it's such a way to throw off all the cynicism of rock and roll, like that everybody gets to be sincere for one song every year, or overly sincere or something like that. Yeah. We don't have
I will argue that it's completely insincere.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if that is for Liam Gallagher sincere, or if he's posing as a sincere human.
Yeah, I mean, his last two albums had a ton of really sincere stuff. He's not like, he slags off a bunch like when he's being interviewed, but his lyrics are for the most part like pretty sincere.
So, look, I'm all, you know me, I'm all down for the slow, sincere, earnest ballad.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, it's about that time of the show that we got to take a break for a song and an ad. This next song, sent to us by the band Inspector 34. They have a new album coming out. The pre-order for vinyl is up there. It's on their Bandcamp, inspector34.bandcamp.com. This song is called The Gray House, and they have like they describe themselves as kind of having like an all-over kind of rock thing. They're from Lowell, Massachusetts, home of Matt Myra and The Fighter, and a crack epidemic. But this is off Love My Life.
We've moved on to opioids over there. So.
Oh, good for them.
That's classy.
But this has got kind of a like weirdo rock Zappa vibe. And if you haven't checked out the Zappa documentary by Alex Winter, it is a fantastic rock doc. I highly suggest everybody check that out. But here's The Gray House by Inspector 34. More radio when we get back.
Ah!
Hey, everybody, it's Cash. MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. You're a total badass, and what you wear should only accentuate that fact. MeUndies truly believes in empowering self-expression. Their pledge for 2020 and beyond is called MeUndies Gives, an initiative that supports those who have systemic barriers to their self-expression. By shopping MeUndies, you support causes as LGBTQ plus communities, mental health and well-being, and women's rights. Let me ask you, what underwear are you wearing at this very moment? Do you feel like you're sitting in a heaven cloud? No? Should you reconsider? Well, here to tell you about sitting in a heaven cloud is MeUndies user and podcast impresario, Neil Mahoney. Neil, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. I don't frequently endorse any product, and thus I'm an actual user, and I am a MeUndies impresario. Like, I love it.
Yeah. What is it you love most about the undies? Is it the fit? Is it the bold style that you keep under your normally placid clothes? Is it like the party on the inside, the boring business meeting on the outside?
Is definitely on the outside, and it's a shitty party. But on the inside, it's even more restrained. It's I go black on black on black.
Okay.
I do black t-shirts, black underpants. I did a sea change. I got rid of every piece of underwear that I had. I brought in the MeUndies, and it's just like a regime change.
Wow.
It was great. It was like a junta or
yeah, no, American soldiers living in palaces built for kings. It's, yeah. Everybody's familiar with the post Desert Storm of it all. Well, MeUndies offers different prints, different colors, different styles. If you want to go black on black on black, like Mr. Mahoney, you can do that. Or you can go fully express yourself in your own unique way with things like hummingbirds or like Rolling Stones lips that have like vampire teeth, if that's your thing. All sorts of stuff. MeUndies are available in a range from sizes from extra small to 4XL. So it could be undies for you, or it could be undies for you and your neighbor, if you feel like doing that. MeUndies believes your butt deserves comfort inside and out. That's
wait, what?
No, that is in the copy. Believes you and your butt deserve comfort inside and out. Well, which is why they created the MeUndies membership. It's really just a great way to love on yourself. Each month, replenish your basics with styles that are anything but basic. Styles that let you be the truest version of yourself right down to your core. Enjoy discounted pricing, controlled shipping, and exclusive early access. You know, you can get early access to underwear. Here it says, love your butt and get the membership.
I already love my butt, but I'm black on black on black. I don't need these special things. Like, I don't feel I have a deficient personality that I need to make up for with my designer underwear.
Well, that's the thing. MeUndies is not just underwear. It's socks. It's other apparel, accessories. You can do gift cards. If there's somebody in your life, you're like, I don't know a lot about you, but I do know your underwear stinks. So they've got face masks now. They've got gaiters. They've got tote bags. They've got things called buddy bands. It's all pretty cool.
What's a buddy band?
I don't. You know what? I'm going to click on it and I'm going to find out. Buddy bands. I think they're maybe for dogs, perhaps. Yeah. So it's
like bandanas.
If you want to match your underwear with your dog collar, you can do that with MeUndies. They got robes. I know you were excited. They even got onesies. If you're looking for that, onesie party that I've never been invited to. So, but just for listeners of Jonah Radio, MeUndies has a great offer. Any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. You can get your 15% off your first order and free shipping. You go to MeUndies.com/Jonah. Neil, do you remember what I just said?
MeUndies.com/Jonah.
All right.
With an H.
With an H. And remember, not only is Neil Mahoney the president of Jonah Radio, he is also a client of MeUndies.
And I also eat trail mix and
All right. Back to the show.
Woo!
Hi, Karumba. This is Bart Simpson, dude. And you're listening to Jonah Radio.
Hey, all right. Thanks for the ad. Hopefully it wasn't for the military. And thank you, Bart Simpson, Nancy Cartwright, for calling in and giving us your wonderful voice. that was Inspector 32, 4, I can't remember.
Three.
Yes. Thank you, Neil. We're still here with Matt Price. Matt,
hello.
You liking the music you're hearing?
I do like the music I'm hearing.
What do you listen to lately?
You know, it's funny. I was going to ask you if you've been doing what I've been doing musically. Well, you get sent a lot of new music. So what I was going to ask you was if you're finding solace in older music that you liked, that's maybe more comforting, or if you're still sort of seeking out and loving new music. And again, I know you're in a particular situation where you get sent a lot of new music.
For the most part, I've been exploring more, and I think I need the brain stimulation. And so I've been like going down rabbit holes and looking for lists of stuff and listening to a lot of like new punk stuff, but also kind of weird electronic stuff as well. But then also going and looking up stuff that maybe I missed up back in the day. You know, I'll go into Spotify and just go, you know, like Cambodian garage rock, you know, and then you kind of find that stuff. But for the most part, just trying to, but it is funny though. Like I'll have times where I'm feeling down, and I think like this has revealed itself here and there for all of us when we do that Pass the Chord thing, is that like, it's like times where we've had maybe a rough year or something like that. Like there's our comfort genres are the songs that we pick.
Yeah. No, I remember you talking about Oasis was one like for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Ago, just
into that.
Yeah, I think it was like I kind of like got into it, and then like there was, you know, like, and then like my dad like passing away, and then like I kind of just was like, I was like, Oasis is my thing. It's yeah. You know, just kind of got way into it. But this is a good time for anyone to talk about any kind of comfort music, I guess.
Oasis was your Oasis.
It truly was.
Yeah, I guess it was. So I was doing like you're saying, I did a deeper dive into like I didn't know that Dylan did an album of covers in 1972 that I was like, oh, well, I'm going to listen to this for a week. And then you brought up David Crosby. I didn't know much about the Laurel Canyon scene. So there was a great documentary about them.
Echoes in the Canyon.
Well, there was that, but there was another one about Laurel Canyon.
David Crosby has opinions on which is better.
Does he for real?
Yeah.
Oh, he assumes. Oh, go ahead. Tell me what it is.
No. Right. I want to hear what you assume.
No,
first.
Cash. I want to know. No. My assumption is he was painted. Well, in the documentary about himself, I assume he would like that better because it's all about him. Although he's painted like a real jerk in that one.
Oh, it's like he's just at the end of it. Like, where did all my friends go? It's like, well, you're a piece of shit your entire life.
Yeah.
My favorite part is when he like he's at the Laurel Canyon Market. And he sees a picture of Jim Morrison. He's like, Morrison, what a dork.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I have another grilled cheese? Yeah, I mean. So I would guess Cash in this game. I would guess he'd say, I'm going to guess he'd say Echoes in the Canyon. He liked that.
He thought Jacob Dylan made it all about himself.
Oh, well, that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Let the kid have something.
Yeah. Shots fired.
Do you think
one of my favorite songs from the 90s from Jacob Dylan? I love When Headlight. I think it's a great song.
Do you think Bob Dylan has ever played a Jacob Dylan song? Like sitting around with a guitar and then he's like, let's play some old folk songs. And
it's like, cold. It feels like Independence Day.
Feels like just a beat up truck.
It's not how it goes, Dad.
I just tried to do it again, and it happened to Norm MacDonald. Yeah. Hey, we can drive it home with one headlight.
And then just lean in for like a minute.
Yeah. Headlight.
Headlight.
And O.J. Simpson is a murderer.
You guessed it.
I've also been doing a deeper dive. I mean, I was always a big Prince fan, but he just has been releasing. His estate has been releasing so much of his music. I've been getting way into the vault, the Prince vault.
Yeah. Cash, you like moving back up to your hometown of Santa Cruz, have you found yourself revisiting stuff that maybe like you were listening to when you were growing up there? Did that happen? Sometimes like an environment can really.
I listened to Robin the Hood, the middle album by Sublime, about 35 times last week. It was interesting. It definitely brought back memories. There is something about like matching especially driving around my old hometown, matching the music that was popular when I lived here to it is interesting. It like, it's like the combination of the two things adds up to memories. It's weird synaptic effect, where it's like, I never would have had that memory standing here if that song wasn't played. But I'm also working in a fucking grocery store. Sorry to swear. And they have a very homogenized 90s music station that they play. So I have been hearing a lot of the music that I grew up with that I did not like during this.
Oh, interesting. So do you find yourself having a soft spot for it now?
No, because it's so...
Short answer.
I was having this conversation with somebody at work the other day. Is like, it's not that like I hear a Sugar Ray song and I go back to the summer of like 97 and think about those memories. I think about every fucking time I've heard that Sugar Ray song in the last 35 years or the last 25 years, where it's just like, it doesn't have it's not connected to my youth. It's connected to every time I've been in this place where I didn't control the music. Fucking 7-Eleven, every retail operation that is just like, we're gonna turn on 90s music. It just has the feeling of shit
now,
of
Neil,
like every situation.
Yeah, Neil, you just recently took a trip back home too, and you had your drop top jams, but like, did you find yourself listening to stuff from back in the day when you're driving around? Or
yeah, a little bit. It was more of like I'd have a shuffle going, and then I'd go, oh, you know what? I want to hear this song. And then I would look it up, and if I didn't own it, I could Apple Music, you know, download it. And
I just like how you're still trying to grasp streaming music.
I could Apple Music download it. And yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's just been much more specific where, like, I've been watching movies all day, every day. Like, in the background is, like, a soundtrack. And then every once in a while I'll be like, oh, I want to hear that song, Kill Jill from, you know, Killer Mike from 2 years ago. And then I'll just listen to the one song and I'm like, yep, that's all I needed. And then back to, you know.
You don't really Friday like Night music Lights. Is what I'm finding out.
Finding out? We've been doing this for a while, buddy.
I love music. It's just, I don't know.
Listen like
the record on my turntable is Island Ski Mask, and that was put on last week. So
that's a good album. That's Ski Mask. When I'm back in Hawaii, I'll listen to like the Hawaiian station, and they just play all the stuff that I grew up listening to, which I would have never wanted to listen to when I was there.
Like traditional Hawaiian music?
Yeah, traditional Hawaiian music, but also like, you know, the Jawaii music from my youth of, you know, of like that kind of reggae Hawaiian music from the 90s and stuff like that. Nothing. You know, I did make a playlist for my friend who just moved out there. And like, I was like, here's the stuff I grew up hearing on the radio. And he was like, some of this is real bad, but my wife loves it. Kesh, is there any other music news or should we get into today?
Well, I just, you know, the Grammy Award nominations were last week. So I just want to hit some of the best categories. Just give you a quick rundown. Best Spoken Word Album is Flea, Acid for the Children, A Memoir. Alex Trebek, The Answer Is by Ken Jennings. Rachel Maddow, Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow. And Charlotte's Web with Meryl Streep. So look forward to those.
Comedy. It's really weird that, like, out of the Grammy nominations, you chose to do the one non-musical.
What are you talking about? Flea's on there. Ken Jennings is musical.
No, he's not. Oh. Not at all. Ken not Jennings. One iota.
Kenny Rogers. I got him confused. Kenny Rogers. Those are two different people.
Yeah.
All right. You love music too much, so much. You tell me the five best musical theater album nominees. Oh, what's that? You can't? It's Amelie, American Utopia on Broadway, Jagged Little Pill, Little Shop of Horrors, The Prince of Egypt, and Soft Power.
Sometimes when I'm like doing the music news segments for the show, I think about what other people might find interesting that listen to the podcast.
Well, I have some good news for you. Listen. Best Compilation Soundtrack for Visual Media, past guest, Bill and Ted Face the Music is nominated. So how's that? That's pretty great, right?
That's good.
Wait, is Jagged Little Pill Alanis Morissette musical?
Yeah,
they made a musical. Yeah, Jukebox.
It's all based on her music. I don't know if it's her life story, but it's her. It's all songs from. In fact,
you know, I auditioned for the role of Dave Coulier in that musical.
That's
Dave
the only.
Coulier got it.
Yeah,
I got it. Out.
Cut it out. Yeah. Best song written for View to the Cats musical.
That's it for music news, all everybody. Right. It's time for This Day in Music.
I'm here to help you with your history report.
You guys are going to go back in time.
Oh, on this day, which we're recording this on Monday, November 30th, in 1963, the Beatles' second album with the Beatles became the first million-selling album by a group in the UK. Hmm. Stayed in the charts for 21 weeks. How about that? How about that? In 1969, the Monkees made what would be their last live appearance for 15 years at the Oakland Coliseum. I didn't know they broke up so fast.
You know what the weird San Francisco trivia thing that I love about that, the Bay Area trivia thing, is the Beatles' last live concert was at Candlestick Park and the Monkees' last concert was across the bay in the Oakland Stadium.
Oh,
because the Monkees were more real.
Yeah, yeah. They're a little more working class.
Yeah
exactly. Yeah.
Some would say low rent, but you know, go yeah.
Nesmith wouldn't say that.
No, he wouldn't.
No. On this day in 1982, Thriller by Michael Jackson was released.
Wow. That's
it's pretty late in the year, and it's after Halloween.
Yeah, how do you release the biggest Halloween song ever a week after Thanksgiving?
Yeah, what is it, a Treehouse of Horror episode coming out after Halloween?
You got to get the marketing right.
It's Christmas, come on.
Yeah. I got that tape when I was in kindergarten. And I brought it into school, and then there was like the classroom tape player, and I tried to put it in to like play, like to show off for all my kindergarten friends. And
that you knew how to use a tape player?
No, that I had the new Michael Jackson record, and I tried to put it into the tape player, and I fucked it up, and it just spooled everywhere, and like it ruined the tape, and that was it.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's why you don't like music, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's why I have a grudge against the musical note.
Take that, music.
In death news of this day, Rob Pilatus, Milli Vanilli singer, attempted suicide.
Attempted or completed?
Take an overdose of sleeping pills and slashing his wrist. I guess it was just an attempt. That's just what the news blotter thing says. Okay. And this day, in 1994, Tupac Shakur was shot dead.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
1994, wow.
Outside a New York City recording studio.
Oh, no, so that was when he was shot. That was just the first. Killed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Right.
He got shot in the dick.
And in 1996, American singer and ukulele player Tiny Tim, real name Herbert Curry, died from a heart attack on stage while playing his hit Tiptoe Through the Tulips at a club in Minneapolis.
Was tragic.
That's crazy. On the stage.
Yeah, because people thought he was doing a bit when he fell down and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he actually died.
Birthdays today, November 30th. Alan Sherman made famously Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. Was born on this day in 1924. Dick Clark in 1929. Let's see, what else we got? Billy Idol, 1955.
I can't drive 55.
Ooh, this is great.
Wait, Billy Idol's 65?
That would be mathematically correct.
Wow.
Same age as my mom. Let's see here. Ooh, Des Ray, singer of my favorite karaoke jam, You Gotta Be. It was born on this day in 1968. John Mayer. No, shit. I'm sorry. That's John Moyer, the bass player for Disturbed. Oh.
Very different.
Yes.
Yet they still get each other's mail.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Although, speaking of Broadway, would that be a great show, Mayer-Moyer? Just the two of them talking?
MoMA.
Entertainment stories?
Yeah. It'd be like that Billy Joel Storyteller's Hour.
be like Frost Nixon.
Would that be it? and Clay Aiken, born today, star of American Idol.
Today?
Born today.
Wow.
On this day in 1978, Clay Aiken was born.
He's turning 42.
Wow, he's old.
Yeah. Well, he's already ran for Congress and stuff.
He's no Billy Idol.
No,
he's no Billy Idol, but he's almost a Neil Mahoney.
Gross.
That Siobhan Magnus, Siobhan Magnus was a American Idol champion, and she came from my hometown.
Oh. You guys want to hear some more late evening Grammy nominations? The people that aren't really best historical album, huh? Best historical album. How about best liner notes?
Is the Cash, is the bit that you chose the most uninteresting?
Yeah, that's the one. Best album notes. At the Minstrel Show, Minstrel Routines from the Studio, 1894 to 1926. That's an album of minstrel songs. The Bakersfield Sound, Dead Man's Pop, about the Replacements. The Missing Link, how Gus Heinchen from got us from Joplin to jazz and shaped the music business. That's for album notes.
And then this has been We Dare You to Listen to This Podcast.
Don't get to be on TV. They should get some publicity. They're doing the Lord's work.
That's a good point. There was a lot of people were upset about The Weeknd not getting nominated. Mm-hmm. And
like The Weeknd.
It is funny though, because like the arguments are always like hypocritical of each other, where it's people go like, The Weeknd sold the most, blah blah blah, and then like, but then someone else will get nominated, and they're like, it's like, and people want to say, oh, it's about how much you sell, but then when it's someone who sold a lot but didn't get nominated, it's not about the art. It's like this weird thing where they can't seem to really decide on what makes them hate the Grammys.
It's almost like the music industry has no basis in reality. Like, I don't know.
But if you won, so Joni, you're in bands. I don't know what your opinion of the Grammys is, but if you were nominated for a Grammy, what would you feel? Like, how would you, I mean,
I mean, like, that's weird.
But would you go, I mean, assuming we can go to things in the future, would you go in an excited fashion?
I mean, it's such a weird experience, right? You know, like, I wouldn't expect to, like, ever be in a group that would ever, you know, have that. I've never been into the kind of music that,
of course,
wins.
But there's so many categories now.
That's true.
You know,
if you read some kick-ass
best
liner
lo-fi
notes?
Pop punk album category.
That's a huge category now.
Yeah,
comedy album.
That's what I love. It's like when people are like, words are stupid. And then they're like nominated for a Grammy. Like, this meant the most to me. This was my crowning achievement.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
it quickly turns is my point. I'm just getting you ready for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because like I think, you know, Maron's been talking about that where he kind of goes like, he's like, I feel really happy with my accomplishments throughout my career and my life. But I realize I would like to win an award at something. I've never gotten like an award at a festival or like a performance in a show or a movie or, you know, like he's like, or any of his books or shows. Like, he's like, they do well and I'm very proud of them, but an award would be kind of nice at this point.
It's not an accomplishment. Yeah.
He'll just have to be satisfied that they're going to name shit after him after he's dead. That's there's going to be a Mark Maron podcasting award at some point. School.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's news. That is news. It is the last day. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 2 weeks left for the entry deadline for the AMBYs, the Podcast Academy's first annual podcasting awards. It costs $100 if you're a member to submit our name. It costs $175 if you don't. If you're not a member and you want to submit our name, so get those over to the AMBYs.
Called the
Ambies?
As in ambient, like you're not paying attention while you're fucking cleaning your kitchen.
What's best, that short for, the AMBYs?
Awards for Excellence in Audio. I don't know how that gets to AMBYs.
Yeah, that's, what? Yeah, that's
terrible. I'm going to the website. Wait, I'm looking it up. But, you know, feel free to submit.
Good luck at the AMBYs.
I'd love to see the ASMR folks give their acceptance speeches.
I'd like to thank
you. Again, thank you. That was
Matt, thank you so much for joining us on
the
show. It is time to say goodbye. Is there anything you want to plug while you're here?
Let's see. Close Enough is on HBO Max, came out recently. So that, I wish I could plug a show I was in live. I cannot. But that's
you
it.
Doing I'll, any of the improv streams? You streaming toward, you're improving towards your computer? You doing anything like that?
No, I'm going to do a show in 2000, in the next year, in the next year, in 2021,
mm-hmm.
That I believe it will be called Resumian, and it's going to be like an improvised movie reunion show.
Oh, that's cool.
Fun.
Because all the movie reunion shows I'm fascinated by, you know, as you were talking about one earlier about Bob Dylan. So we'll get some sort of topic and a bunch of people come on and improvise a movie that doesn't exist. A reunion for a movie that doesn't exist.
That's really funny because everybody establishes what the movie... Oh, that's a great
exactly.
idea.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be called Resumian, although that doesn't really roll off the tongue as I'm saying it now. But I can plug that for the future. That'll be happening sometime, hopefully in February.
Yeah, we've been listening to these for years.
Great. So if you're listening to it past February 2021, go back and listen to them.
Yeah. And then we'll be doing our
oh yeah, we have our thing in a couple weeks, which I always look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
I learn a lot on that show.
It's very, very fun. If any of our listeners ever want to check that out, it's like me and Matt is our friend Jay Logic and the Sklar Brothers do an end of the year, like our three favorite songs from that year that we record, and we've been doing it for about 7 years, I guess at this point, which is insane to think about.
Can I silently sit in again?
Only if Jake Fogelnest is there again.
Okay.
Jake.
If you liked any of the songs that you heard on the show today, be sure to check them out. You can get their links in the show notes. Buy their stuff on Bandcamp or follow them on Twitter or Instagram. A little bit goes a long way when you show appreciation to the people that you like. And I know a lot of people don't have money anymore, so even just show someone that you care. And we want to thank our associate producer, Dan Angler, for all the great work he does on the show. I want to thank the Toys That Kill for the opening theme song, Moon Patrol for our artwork. I want to thank Cash Hartzell for being incredible.
Best contemporary blues album. Have You Lost Your Mind Yet by Fantastic.
I take it back.
Live
I take
at
it
the
back.
Paramount, Ruthie Foster Big Band.
I fucking take
the
back
Juice,
what
G-Lo's
I just
got
said.
An album out. The Blackbirds, Betty LeVette, and Up and Rolling by the
Whoa, 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 whoa. All-Stars. Whoa, hold on. Where's Special Sauce?
No, Special Sauce has been cut to it's just G-Love now.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Special
Here's
Sauce
a
got canceled.
Documentary for you. What happened to Special Sauce?
Yeah, there it is.
Best documentary album. What happened?
be sure to check out Alex Winter's Zappa documentary. And Neil, any movies that people should watch right now?
Let's see. Just put on Showtime and just let it roll. All day.
We're going to wrap it up with a song from our friend Philip John Taylor from the band Pause, put out a solo album that he wrote and recorded while in quarantine at his place in the Highlands of Scotland. And it's called Gone to Hell. Thanks for listening to Jonah Radio, and be sure to check out my other podcast, Let Me Watch Your Movie With You, which is a podcast that's also a film commentary track where I have people on and where I watch their movie with them, and then you can sync it up with that stuff. Coming up this Friday, we have Derek Mears, and we're watching his 2009 remake of Friday the 13th. It's a lot of fun. It's a good conversation. We just had Alex Winter on for Bogus Journey, so check it out. And then this is there. And then thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you guys for being here. Thanks, Matt.
No, thank you.
We're going to play the song now, so if you want to leave, feel free.
Hey.
Now I don't know what to do.
Yeah. We won't be insulted. Anyway, this is from Essential Maintenance. Philip John Taylor, Gone to Hell. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
To Jonah Radio.